Hey, Bucks fans, a little bit of a somber day today and a little extra introduction here on the Ira Kaufman podcast because we finished recording and then found out that Tristan Wirfs had surgery on his knee yesterday to clear up some complications, and it seemed to be worse than was expected. So the buzz is that Wirfs is going to miss the first four games of the season on the physically unable to perform list. And of course, obviously, he won't practice all summer. We are working on getting more information, try to get some better perspective, see what the Bucks are going to do, and see what the injury situation really is. Because for a guy to know in July that he can't come back to play until October, that's a significant injury. And I believe that if the Bucks thought he could play in week 3 and 4, that he won't go on that physically unable to perform list, because Tristan Wirfs is that valuable to have on the field for two games and in week 3 and 4 and lose a roster spot in weeks 1 and 2. So a lot to figure out, lots of process here. We wish Wirfs well, and we will have plenty on the Wirfs injury in the next podcast, number 2 of this week. In the meantime, enjoy. We hit on all kinds of subjects today. Ira is extra feisty, and thanks for listening.
What?
He also knows in his heart that his defense was garbage last year.
I don't see Atlanta closing the gap. I'm sorry. I think that's why the Bucks need to squash them in week 1. Show him who's boss. Right in front of Art the Blank and all his friends. I don't like that guy. I don't like him.
Buccaneers fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast is back. What a day it is. Here's the sage of Tampa Bay sports for his first podcast of this.
Two more weeks. How do you like that, Steve? Two more weeks.
I like it, Ira. I like it. Here he is, first of two this weekly. D. Kemper's here. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Now, if you don't realize it, Ira is the water damage whisperer. He's Mr. Bill Curry Ford. He's the king of Newport Richie. Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. I think that's all of them, Lee. I think that's all the names for Ira.
Fresh off a visit to my favorite Chinese restaurant. So I'm feeling my oats right now.
Well,
I had a soup called Fish Maw Soup.
That's Maw? All
Fish Maw, M-A-W. That's all you need to know about this Chinese restaurant.
Fish Maw.
Fish Maw Soup.
I can guarantee.
As good as it sounds.
Guarantee two things. Lee and I would not order that.
Nope.
So.
Nope.
It's $8, I might say.
At first, I thought you said fish moss.
No.
Yeah,
no,
me
no.
too. Yeah, like seaweed or something.
M-A-W ain't any better than moss, right?
Well, the key word for me is fish. No.
And walnut shrimp. Walnut shrimp.
Yeah, that dinner would have killed me. Between the fish and the walnuts, that would have killed me.
And the poly walnuts.
If the fish didn't kill me, the walnuts would have done the trick.
Steve's dying to get back to this podcast, though.
Oh, man. We didn't start yet. All right. Well, look, Ira, I appreciate everybody who's been tuning us in at WDAE various times on Saturdays. You can always check JoeBucksFan.com for when the next show will be, but we've been on every week. Hard to believe it's been 5 months. Where the hell did the time go?
Wow.
We getting any feedback, Steve? From
I've been getting more and more feedback. Just a stray email from somebody I haven't heard from in a while.
Anybody say that I have a shrill voice? Like John Sterling said to me when I was 20 years old, you have a shrill voice.
No, but, you know, you're the sage. People have been listening to you for years. They're used to you.
Shrill's a bad word, Lee. I don't like that word. Shrill.
Ira, right now, there's a great 2024 Ford Bronco Black Diamond at BillCurryFord.com. 5,000 miles. That's an example of the tremendous vehicles they've got in inventory right now at Bill Curry Ford.
How much for that Bronco, Stevie?
I don't want to read the price here online. Oh, you know.
Well, it's a deal, though, right? It's a great deal.
It's a deal. You got to go to BillCurryFord.com. But there are many vehicles, 2024s, older vehicles, great used selection, but, of course, loads of new vehicles, great offers. The Ira Kaufman discount is in effect.
That's right.
They've got a nice coupon on their website. You can check that out, BillCurryFord.com. And more specials are about to be announced. So get to BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan, he is the one who holds the Ira Kaufman discount in his pocket. So ask him for that. And you will be treated to third generation family service.
Love the showroom over there. Love
you know
it.
What? Sean told me that they're almost ready to say they're fourth generation working at Bill Curry Ford.
Whoa.
Since 1960, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. I heard Sean talk about that on his Best in Class podcast, breaking down the draft.
I was just getting out of kindergarten back then, Lee. Yes, that's true.
There you go. And I know you were held back 6 years, but anyway. Bill Curry Ford, just trust them. Go to them first. Give them an honest shot. They're going to wow you with mobile service at your home, 100 loaner vehicles, body shop. They get full service there.
Open Sunday.
Open Sundays, even for express services, in addition to sales. Bill Curry Ford. .com shop there first. We ask you to give them a chance, and we appreciate the many listeners who have. Later, Sage, we'll talk about our other friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration, 5-star Google reviews. Read them all. Realize that you're dealing with a great family-owned company who will be there for you when you have water damage.
And if you don't think you're in hurricane season right now, Steve, put your television on, and the first 8 commercials you're going to see are for replacement windows that are hurricane strength. Everybody's focused on possible hurricanes.
Weathertight Mike, where are you? We can advertise for you. Ira is perfect for Weathertight
Mike. And we've been
Mike.
Hit hard the last few years, Steve. We have. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
We're in the Tampa Bay area.
If you need a window, it's probably a good time to get it. You probably should have gotten one a long time ago because they don't just like show up with a window. There's
but
a lot
God
to do
forbid
there.
You have storm damage.
If you have any sort of disaster in your home, Florida's Elite Restoration, call them first. Ira, look.
I'm still feeling 11-6, Steve. I'm still feeling it.
Lee, do you have a feeling? Ira's
talking about his
feelings.
I'm on an 11-6 tirade over here.
Here you go, like, Ira. Let's see what your feeling is after this. Now, Steve and I have a little bit of different opinion on Jamel Dean.
You know where I stand.
Well, I think he's the best cornerback on the team. And that's not saying a whole lot. I'm not saying he's a Pro Bowler, but we don't know anything about Benjamin Morris. We don't know anything about Jacob
Parrish,
yeah. I mean, they might be dynamite. They might be nothing. I don't know. Zion McCollum, he's a nice player. I don't know if he's Dean's level yet. And my point is, somebody for Pro Football Rumors, that's what it was, Pro Football Rumors, this guy said, Jamel Dean's going to get cut. He's going to get cut. I'm like, you're going to cut him 2 weeks before training camp? Really? Your best cornerback? You're going to cut him? And he's like, oh, he was a June 1st candidate. Well, June 1st came and went. That was a long time ago. They're not going to cut him with 2 weeks to go. Two things, Ira. Here's my prediction. When he gets hurt, we know it. That's when Morrison comes in, and probably Wally pips him. But here's I'm gonna throw in Bill Polian here. I had to go to Clearwater today to do some stuff, some personal stuff, and I'm flipping around, and it's morning time, it's like 9 o'clock in the morning. There's Bill Polian on NFL Radio. Oh my God, I love listening to Polian on NFL Radio. I used to listen to him with Alex Marvez on Late Hits. They got rid of that 2 years ago. I'm still
don't tell me he was talking Bucks.
Well, indirectly, I'll get to it in a second. I know I'm long-winded here, but it is radio. It is a podcast.
You're an influencer. I understand it.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm a flatulent influencer, if that means anything. So, Polian got to talking about, you know, there's some second-round picks trying to play hardball with their teams. They are unsigned. Anyway, Polian was saying, second-round pick unsigned? I'd play hardball with them. Not first round, but second round. To explain why. The hit rate for second-round picks? 46%.
What does he mean by hit? Star?
Now, that's a very good question. Does he mean star? Does he mean starter? Does he mean make the team? He didn't specify. He said 46%. And he goes, I'm not losing sleep of a guy I have less than a 50% chance of making it. I'm not losing sleep over.
Okay. So he's got the leverage over a second round pick.
He doesn't know about another team, but he would do it because you have a less than 50% shot of making the NFL as a second-round pick. And we all know the longer the draft goes, the further or the lesser the odds. So I just thought it was interesting, 46%. So I guess Benjamin Morrison, using Polian's definition, 46% chance of doing something.
Well, it's hard for any GM to do that when you've, after you draft the guy and you step to the podium.
They love the guy.
And you say, this guy's a first-round talent. We got a steal. He's the guy. Yeah, that makes it a little bit harder, but I know where Polian's coming from. Because he was a Hall of Fame GM, he usually had a loaded roster and wasn't, hanging his whole career on a second round pick. So a little bit different there. But
may I disagree with the Kemper's premise?
Yeah, I know you were about to, so go ahead.
I don't think Dean's better than McCollum. I don't think he's necessarily better. McCollum's on the rise. Dean's plateaued. Dean can't get an interception if his life depended on it. McCollum can. Not that he gets 5.
Does he?
Well, he gets his 2. I expect to see a little more in a contract year.
Sure.
Will Dean get cut? I don't think he will.
No.
But I don't think it's impossible. I don't think it's impossible.
That's fair. It's not impossible. But
because in the words of Isbitz, he makes a lot of money.
He makes a lot of money, but if you really do have Super Bowl aspirations, which the Bucks do, they think they can make a run. Are you really going to get rid of your best corner? I know you don't think he's the best corner. I think he is, and I think it's crazy if you're going to bank on rookies. Now, immediately, Steve will say, well, a rookie started for the Eagles. That's an outlier, man. Are you going to bank on an outlier? I'm not that much of a gambler. I'm not going to bank on an outlier.
What if Morrison lights it up in camp? What if he does?
Gets camp. That's not games.
I mean, can he win that job?
Again, I still believe it's Dean's job until he gets hurt, and we know he's going to get hurt.
Yeah, we've been saying, I know you said he's not going to be here, and you've said that.
That's fair.
You didn't clarify when that would happen, but he's not going to be here is sort of where you were leaning. I agree with Lee that he's the starter. Even Rondé Barber, Mr. Insider, said that, but forget about Rondé today. Yeah, I believe Dean's going to start.
You think he's better than McCollum right now?
No, but I think it's very close.
I think it's close.
I just look at I simply look at it as if I had one game, and I'm pick a receiver I'm cover going up against. Do I want Dean or McCollum? That's a tough decision for me, but I would go with McCollum right now. Very close.
McCollum puts up a lot of numbers I like. Pass breakups.
Pass breakups, yeah.
And then if you think about it, well, why does he have so many pass breakups?
Maybe they're throwing at him.
Maybe. So if Dean really was worse than McCollum, they'd be throwing at Dean.
There's some been interesting data or situations with that over the years. Brent Grimes led the NFL in pass breakups with the Bucs.
He had a good year or two with the Bucs.
His first year with the Bucs, he had like 25 pass breakups, something like that, led the NFL, didn't make the Pro Bowl, but he had a crappy rookie on the other side of him, Vernon Hargraves. And the Bucs that year were the number one third down defense in the league. That's why everybody was going crazy over Mike Smith, the coordinator that year. I think he can win with a rookie corner, but I just look at it as no way Todd Bowles is getting rid of his most experienced corner who can still play, and they're not doing it. He'd have to really screw up bad. Mm. He'd have to flat out lose the job.
Well, maybe not take a haircut on his salary.
He'd have to lose the starting job, and Jason Light would probably have to march into Bowles' office and say, look, we got 2 days to make a tough decision here. We can dump him, pick up some salary. I think I could get this guy, or we get some more depth here.
I think I can get a fourth-round pick for him.
Or they go to Dean and say, look, we're not paying you 13. You're going to make 8. You got 24 hours to decide.
I'm throwing you a curveball, Ira. Tom Bassinger.
Tom Bassinger. That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, he used to write for the Times.
Yeah, Tom Bassinger. Yeah, he was a big stat guy. Big stat guy. Didn't he go to Philly?
Yeah, he went to Philly. I give Mike Sherman, the editor of the Times.
Good guy.
I told him this to his face. I gave him significant credit in trying something new. The fact that newspapers are dying on the vine, he tried something new to get a younger audience to have Bassinger just be a stat guy. We know younger demographics.
They want metrics.
Yeah, metrics. I hate that word. You hate
That's why I used it.
You hate influencers. I hate metrics.
And Bassinger wasn't bad at it, Lee. He wasn't bad at it.
I didn't think he was bad at it either. Now, the reason why I bring Bassinger up, when he brought up Mike Smith, Isbitz did, all that year, like Isbitz said, people were going bananas in a good way about Mike Smith, that number one third down in defense. All year, Bassinger was the lone guy in the woods, you know, throwing rocks at cars going by. He was like Chris Thomas. He goes, yeah, but the interceptions are covering up a bad defense. He said it time and time again. Guess what happened? The next year, they didn't get those takeaways, and they were horrible.
He said it wasn't sustainable, right, Lee?
Exactly.
Horrible. What year are you talking about?
He was absolutely dead on.
2016.
Yeah. Oh, 2016.
He was absolutely.
And by 2018, Mike Smith was gone.
Yep.
Should have been gone sooner.
Bastier was absolutely dead on. Those takeaways covered up a bad defense.
Steve, let me interject. We talk about the secondary a lot, not just Dean. Can Winfield bounce back, this and that? Where's Tykee Smith going to play? Who's going to win the nickel? You know one thing we don't dwell on enough, and I think it's driving Bowles crazy.
Bowles pass defense?
Tackling.
Tackling
from the secondary? It's not good, Steve.
No.
It's not good.
And McCollum is a
McCollum's
big,
among the
a
culprits.
Big face of that. He's the one who didn't wrap up and sort of launched himself and missed on the guy and drilled Antoine Winfield in the knee midseason. I mean, it's an ugly highlight. Nobody wants to talk about it at $1, but it's just one play. It happens.
Yards after catch on the Buck defense, not good.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not just McCollum.
You know, I did a little research last week, and I'm still triggered by it. You know, I know that the Bucks the last 2 years had terrible pass defense. You know, yards per game in a passing game. They gave up so much. They were the fourth worst the last 2 years. And if I recall correctly, coordinators of the worst three are no longer coordinators with those teams.
Now, Bowlesley, to be fair, might say, well, everybody throws against us because they don't want to run against us. I don't totally buy that.
I don't totally buy it either.
First of all, the run defense wasn't great last year. It wasn't.
It wasn't great, but it was good.
It was good.
Yeah.
They do face a lot of passes, so you got to be careful with the yards allowed. But getting seven interceptions and what was it, about 30 touchdown passes, something like that. 28-7 or something ratio. That's a terrible ratio.
Well, I'm not worried about picks. I'm worried about playing sound football. Going back to 2019 when the Bulls showed up, only 1 year has the pass defense been out of the 20s. 1 year.
So you're counting passing yards necessarily.
Yes, passing yards. I just couldn't believe that. I almost felt like, for a defensive guy, it's embarrassing.
I would look more at yards per allowed per pass attempt.
Yeah, of course. Sure, it's just like a running game. Yards per carry is way more important than total, but it's all situational.
Now, Lee, I'm not saying they played very poor pass defense last year. I'm not going to alibi for it. They did.
Well, like I said, I'm pretty sure the worst three teams – the last 2 years, the coordinators slash head coaches for those teams are no longer with those teams.
Steve, I got to say, I'm usually a Bulls defender, generally speaking. His reputation as a D coordinator, I think it's taken a hit.
Oh, of course it's taken a hit.
It's taken a hit.
And that's what makes opening day so much fun for me, personally, because you know the Falcons are the team that carved them up the worst last year, twice, embarrassing as hell. And
I mean, different quarterback.
You know the Falcons are going to go after them through the air, but they've also got an incredible running game. So I hope Bulls figures out all year to figure out how to
lead. The strength of the Falcons is their offense.
Yeah,
and it's a pretty good offense if Penix can get the job done. Mm-hmm.
This sounds almost sinister to ask.
Ooh, that's a strong word.
Yeah,
Lee.
We know now that when Bulls was talking to you and Steve at the owners' meetings, he was all in on Igbuka, all in. Which I think, didn't he say something along the fact that
he didn't mention
points?
His name? He didn't mention his name.
Of course not, but he was all in. You know.
Yeah.
If I recall correctly, didn't he say something like, you got to score points? And I was floored by
when
that.
When he said that, probably at that moment, he knew that they were going to take that kid.
Or at least I think it sounded like it.
He spoke about, hey, I've learned, you got to score. And
scored a lot of points last year. That wasn't a problem.
Based on that quote and what Steve just said, I learned. And I looked at Bulls' past defenses. Ever since he's been here, except for 1 year, as 2022, you think Bulls came to the conclusion we have an easier path to score more points than I do having a path to fixing his pass defense?
It's arguable. I mean,
I'm going to say no, only because they scored 29.5 points a game last year.
How much more can they?
I don't think Bulls was sitting there thinking, we can get another four a game.
Well, look, here's, and this
but
is.
But we might be able to stop a touchdown a game.
This is really going to trigger him when I bring this up, because this subject triggers him almost as much.
Oh, then you got to do it.
Unless
Lee.
I bring up somebody like Stan Musial
or
Woody Hayes.
Then you got to do it.
One score games. Look at all the one score games they lost. Maybe Bulls is thinking, one more touchdown, one more freaking touchdown, instead of a field goal.
But
one
Lee,
more
he also knows in his heart that his defense was garbage last year.
I hope so.
Yeah.
That's a great clip, Ira. I think I might open the podcast with that. He knows in his heart that his defense was garbage last year. And you said it with such sincerity. They didn't do their part, Steve.
They didn't do their part.
Come on, they sucked. They got better. They showed up in the playoff game. I'll give them that. And when they were healthy, they had some incredible showings. But overall, they
Lee,
sucked.
In your words, it wasn't horrible against Washington in the playoff game. It wasn't good either.
No.
It wasn't good.
The horrible liner. Horrible. I got that from Howard Stern. I got to be fair. That's not me. That's Howard Stern. Horrible.
I'm not going to defend them against Washington. They couldn't get off the field.
We've had this song and dance. They still only allowed 23 points, and it would have been less if the offense didn't commit two horrible turnovers. So
horrible.
You can't kill him for that amount of points.
What are we hearing about Godwin, if anything, Steve?
Well, we're going to find out. I have a funny feeling, Ira. We're
going to
find
wait
out
a minute.
Before opening of training camp on Wednesday the 23rd, just because the three of us know what we'll be doing before that. So I think we're going to be able to break that news. So we'll leave it at that.
Lee, do you expect to see Chris Godwin on the first day of practice? Do you expect to see him on the field?
Yeah. I'm not saying he's going to be practicing, but I expect him to be on the field.
Oh, I'm saying practice.
Oh, no, I do not expect that. I expect him to see him on a side field with trainers. That's what I expect.
I don't expect it at all, but ultimately we're just guessing. So we'll find out a little bit more, but the logic and everything that we've heard and seen says no. So, Ira, look, this upset me a little bit. I'm sitting there.
He read another one of my stories.
No. We already talked about previously, because Jeremy Fowler let it slip on ESPN. He does that annual survey of 70 coaches, executives, scouts, and asks them to name their top 10 at each position.
Anonymous.
anonymous. Name your top 10 players at each position. Send me a comment if you feel moved.
Nah, it doesn't mean he gets 70 responses, but if he gets 30 responses,
I'm sure most
fine.
Most people probably do, and ESPN probably has a nice pretty link for him to, you know.
They want to stay really good with the four-letter.
Exactly. So, bottom line, he leaked that Baker Mayfield was going to be in the top 10, and people will be surprised where he is. So that was kind of cool. That was weeks ago. But now they're starting. So they started with running backs, and Bucky Irving did not make the top 10. Now, he did sort of he made the top of the honorable mention list, you know, which was nice, but ultimately he did not
Don't tell me he had Joe Mixon ahead of Bucky Irving. That's ridiculous.
Joe Mixon at number 9, Alvin Kamara at number 10.
Alvin Kamara? The guy's 48 years old.
Look, Kamara looks good to me. I watch all the...
He's still got some juice.
I watch all the division games on the replays, so... He looks good to me, and the comment...
He had a pretty good year.
One of the comments from the experts weighing in was his offensive line was garbage, and he still showed the burst and looked pretty good and did the best he could. But I still don't buy it. I didn't like seeing Bucky Irving there, and all 21 running backs got some sort of vote, and none of them were named Rashad White. What are your thoughts?
I'm not putting Irving ahead of Derrick Henry. I mean, I'm not out of my mind here. I'm not even putting him ahead of Bijan Robinson. I mean, Robinson's a hell of a player. And he's done it for a couple of years, and Irving's done it for 1 year. Like you said, let me see it again. I don't see any reason why he's not going to do it again. Mm-hmm. I think his numbers will be better because I think he's going to touch the ball more. Not completely wipe out Rashad White's carries, but carry it a little bit more. 1,500 yards from scrimmage. I think he could approach 2,000 with more usage.
Mm.
Joe Mixon, you know, he's not the same runner he was in Cincinnati.
No.
Now he's on Houston. He's okay. He's okay.
Wasn't as good as Bucky Irving.
Bucky Irving's more than okay, Lee. So maybe they don't want to put a guy off 1 year in the top 10. Maybe.
You guys know I love Bucky, but I'm kind of a wait and see, and this is why. Defensive coordinators have had an entire offseason.
He makes guys miss, Lee.
He makes guys miss, but you can also defend better. You got to admit, a rookie, you know, a third-day rookie, third-day draft pick, he surprised some people, be honest.
Including the three of us.
Yeah, that's true. And I loved it, don't get me wrong, I loved it. But, like I said, other teams' coaches get paid, too. They had all offseason, especially division defensive coaches, they've had all offseason to look at tape of Bucky.
But, Lee, the Bucs have a dynamic passing game. So what are you going to do? Load up for Bucky Irving and not worry about Baker Mayfield?
Well, that's great if they load up. That's awesome if they do that. It would be great. It would be great if he gets more than he did last year.
I don't think outstanding running backs fall off the plate.
You're right.
Year two.
I
don't think they do.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. If he can pull it off again this year, he's going to be elite.
Yeah, just to close that up, Ira, we talked previous podcast, Bucky Irving averaged over 5 yards a carry on inside runs and outside runs. He was fourth in the league in yards per carry. That was a new Bucs record.
Caught 47 out of 52 passes.
10th in the NFL in total yards, so he was top 10 in total yards. And he
with the limited...
He was second in the league, which what you were just saying there, second in the league in catch percentage, catching more than 90% of the balls. So everything about him said top 10, but... The NFL community, if you will, says no. I didn't like it.
To Lee's point, Steve, to Lee's point. If Mike Glennon was under center, I could see what you're saying about loading up. Would Mike Evans, Egbuka,
no.
Possibly Godwin, McMillan, mm-hmm. and Mayfield at the controls and a good offensive line? What are you going to do, load up against Bucky Irving?
Well,
say throw the ball, Mayfield?
I dare you. I never said load up. You can defend better without loading up. They're going to be ready for him this year. They're going to be ready
Lee,
for him.
The guy's in the hole ready to tackle him, and he jukes him.
That's great. That's awesome. I love that. But again, second year. Let's see. Like Yaya Diaby, he came on last year as a rookie, and I predicted that his numbers go down because teams would be ready for him. They had all offseason to study him, and he did not match his rookie numbers.
So he did apparently get number 11, being the top honorable mention. But anyway, that's that. So
we're already pissed off at him on the first category.
So same survey, defensive tackles. Vita Vea lands at number 9, in between DeForest Buckner at 8, and four-time All-Pro, future Hall of Famer Cameron Hayward, who had a bounce-back year for the Steelers last year.
Derek Brown on that list?
Wow. I'll look up Derek Brown. Go ahead, Ira.
I think he was hurt last year.
I think you're right.
For a bunch of this year, which really hurt the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
And their defense was horrible. It was horrible. Vita Vea, number 9. I'm not going to go crazy over that. Steve. He's in the top 10. You know, he's not 25 anymore, but he's still effective. How many defensive tackles have led their team in sacks in any season? He's done that. And he's averaged 6 sacks really over the last 4 years.
Yeah.
That's not a bad number.
No.
I'm a Vita Vea guy. In fact, I believe he's coming up in my next countdown of the Bucks' top 50 players.
I haven't
mentioned him yet.
No.
And I'm up to like 25. So I'm halfway through. I haven't mentioned Vita Vea yet.
He's one of two people I cannot get him to talk to me.
Oh.
It's been a couple of years since I actually got a decent answer from him. Usually he dodges everything. You ask him a question. What do you mean? What are you talking about? You know, and he just doesn't want to answer your question.
You know who's the opposite of that? Hold on, Steve. You know
oh my
the
God.
Opposite? I've been thinking about this guy. He's a current Buck. This guy is everything you could ever ask for. Great player, arguably the best player on the team, arguably, and unbelievable in the locker room. Never turns down an interview request. The guy's fantastic, and he's in our presence.
David or Wirfs?
Tristan Wirfs.
Yeah,
he's incredible. The personality. You ever seen him pissed off?
He got pissed off at me once.
You said, I'm not talking?
Yep.
Well.
He got pissed off
if
me
I was
once.
Talking to you, too, I might say that. But Wirfs is a godsend in that locker room, Steve.
They keep
dragging him out in front of the freaking canopy, and he never says no.
Vea closing the locker room day, I went right up to him at what seemed like a good moment and asked him right after I asked Levante
at
David.
At his locker?
Right after I asked Levante David to say, I said to David, hey. Fans have been killing bulls. What's your message to them?
This is the day after?
Yeah, this is the day after. That got a lot of run. David's quote. I went to ask Vea the same question, and he wasn't talking. I said, hey, it's just about bulls. I just asked this to Levante. Was hoping to get your feedback so I can let the fans know. Wouldn't do it.
Still pissed off about the Washington game. Probably.
So, Derek Brown was an honorable mention on that list.
I think he was hurt last year, Steve.
He had some injuries. Number one was Dexter Lawrence of the Giants.
Wow, and number one.
I watched Cody Mauch on this bizarre podcast out of North Dakota, and he mentioned Lawrence.
He just got married?
Yeah, just newly married.
Yeah.
He mentioned Lawrence as the toughest matchup he had last year. The Giants weren't very good, but wow, you know, this guy.
They got a pretty good front four, the Giants.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. They were like 5th in sacks or something like that. But for me, I was curious to see Quinnen Williams of the Jets.
High draft pick.
The Pro Bowler, 23 sacks in the last few years. Guy plays every game. On his edge was Reddick, who had a superstar in the middle, 5th in the league ranking here. It didn't help him.
You got to wipe out Reddick's season.
No, you don't have to wipe it out. You got to think about it.
I like it. Hold him accountable.
And a double-digit edge rusher on the other side. He doesn't have that in Tampa. Now he's got Vea and Kancey. Kancey was just noted as a guy who got at least one vote.
Now that leads you into the tribe.
Would you like me if I go off on the tribe?
Go ahead.
Okay, I want your reaction to this, Ira. The tribe has
got it in for this guy, Lee. Why?
These dumbass grades are like scripture to the SOBs. If the grade tells them, then by God, it's gospel. And they won't move off that. They'll defend those dumbass grades till the cows come
home. What's the latest?
They wrote about 2 weeks ago that Kancey's on the bubble of getting cut.
You're making that up.
I'm not.
Somebody who doesn't know anything about the Bucks and how they operate.
Thank you.
What are you talking
about? Or just football. Just watching the.
What the hell are you talking
watching
about?
Football.
Thank you. And
hey, he's the heir apparent. When Vea's gone, he's going to be the guy in the middle.
So these clowns.
Did they really say that?
I'm serious. I'll send you the freaking link.
That's worse than me saying Dean could be cut. That's a lot worse.
The fact that ESPN did this list, Jeremy Fowler, the top defensive tackles, and Kancey got some votes from people in the know, real football people, that he's one of the better tackles out there. And then the tribe says, oh, he's about ready to cut. He's so bad against
the run.
Anybody
put a name on that?
Yes. I'm telling you.
He might get cut.
I'm dead serious.
There's nobody in that organization that doesn't think Kalijah Kancey's going to be a Pro Bowler.
Now, my biggest question is, what the hell's wrong with Chris Collinsworth? Shouldn't just to save his face,
That's outrageous, Steve. That's somebody who doesn't know anything about, hasn't seen the Bucks at all.
Yeah, it's so stupid, I can't even.
They're saying he's an underachiever. That's what they're saying.
They're saying he sucks, period.
Or are they saying he gets hurt a lot? Which one are
they saying?
No, it's both. If the guy was a first-round pick, if you're saying he's on the verge of getting cut.
No, they're ragging on the guy because they say his run defense is that bad. Meanwhile, next-gen stats claimed he didn't have a missed tackle, which can't see himself said, yeah, I had one.
Well, I disagree with both of them.
I found the missed tackle. That was on JoeBucksFan.com.
There you go.
But can't see admitted it. Yeah, I missed a tackle against the Raiders. Oh, missed tackle.
It was funny. I was looking, rewatching it. I'm like, oh, crap, there's the missed tackle.
Wait, it's going to take a while for me to get over that line about Cansey. That is outrageous.
There's a guy on TikTok, Ira. And here it comes. Your favorite word, influencer. Theo Ash, who does a really good job breaking down.
Who?
Yeah. Ira is one of these guys, I swear he lives in a closet, because none of the people I follow or monitor, he has no idea who the hell they are. I was telling someone this about cell phones today. I said, yeah, there's a guy, but I didn't mention your name. I said,
I still got an Android phone over there.
I said, we were going to go to a meeting, and I told you, Ira, I said, well, I'll text you. And then I look around, I said, where's your cell phone? Oh, it's in the car.
Finished. Am I the only guy with a Google phone?
And so Theo Ash, he's got a TikTok video,
all right.
TikTok channel,
all right.
Does a really good job breaking down film. He can't stand a tribe. And last week, I guess they ragged on Minkum Fitzpatrick. And Theo Ash basically said he put out a video just to trash the PFF tribe. And he said, if you're referencing the PFF grades, you don't know ball.
Very good.
Ira, you started this podcast.
You've been strong on them, Lee. You've been strong on them.
But to give them credit, I like their advanced stats. There's a difference between their stats and their dumbass grades.
Ira, you started the podcast saying, I'm still on 11-6. I'm an 11-6 guy. Lee, do you have a number at this point, or are you still
I'm still
evaluating?
Leaning 10. I'm leaning 10.
Wait,
I like the fact they've won one more game in each of the last 2 years.
Wait, that's not an answer. Are you leaning from 11 or are you leaning from 9? Which direction?
I don't have a firm answer.
No. Well, you said you were leaning, so I didn't know.
I'm leaning toward 10.
Leaning
from 10. 11, if that's what you're asking.
From 11, okay.
I don't see Atlanta closing the gap. I'm sorry. I think that's why the Bucs need to squash them in week one. Show them who's boss.
Got to show them who's boss. Now, that's why it's a must win. If you don't squash
especially
them,
right in front of Art the Blank and all his friends. Right in front of him. You show him
and
who's
you
boss.
On the field. And you
and
on the
me
field.
On the field. That's right.
So there have been a few predictions. Just to throw them out here real quick. Gerald McCoy, still bullish
still
on the
bleed,
Bucks.
Still bleeds Bucks.
Says he sees the Falcons taking steps, but he thinks there's no way the Falcons can match what the Bucks have as it relates to the continuity and the teamwork and just where they are in their development. He sort of was talking about Atlanta like they're a year or year plus away from where the Bucks are right now. So
certainly the jury's out on Raheem Morris, Lee. Certainly. Mm.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Really think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I didn't say he's going to get fired right off
okay.
the bat. I didn't
okay.
say that.
I think he's on thin
but,
ice.
But Atlanta fans, they're wondering about this guy.
Already?
I think so.
Oh, of course.
They had a big lead last year.
And Cousins got hurt, and you got a rookie.
They
know?
Were the favorite last year. Raheem comes in, defensive guys, defense stinks. And he botched calls and games. They lost to Carolina in a must-win game when they still had a shot at the end of the year to close the season in Week 18. I mean,
they were 6-3, Lee. Looking good.
Yeah. And then Cousins gets hurt.
Yeah. Not right then.
Oh, did you see where Cousins on that quarterback series on Netflix? He said if he knew the Falcons were going to draft a quarterback, he would have stayed in Minnesota.
I got an answer for him.
Grow up?
Or that he was surprised. Didn't he say he was surprised they drafted Penix or
yeah.
something? Steve, if I'm a 35-year-old quarterback, and I go back to Brett Favre in Green Bay, why should you be shocked that a team's trying to build the guy for the future?
No, I'm going
to
tell you why.
You got to build the next guy for
I'll tell you
center.
Why
you
right
can't
now.
Think the guy's going to play till 45.
I'll tell you why right now, because you know Raheem Morris personally. If you called him now, he'd take your call. And you know that Raheem looked Kirk Cousins in the eye and said, put his arm around him and said, you're my guy, man. You're my guy. We're doing this.
Well, he was his guy till he screwed up.
He was his guy till Penix was available.
Before the draft.
Uh-oh.
Before the draft. Because you know everybody knows what that means. When
but I mean, it was Cousins' job. He had the job, and he was doing well.
Yeah, he got hurt.
And, yeah, he got hurt.
500 yards, Ira.
509, Lee. 509. Never forget it, Lee. Never forget it.
All right, Ira, like I said, we had some other predictions. So,
And by the way, their tackling that game was awful.
Yeah.
Guys spinning away. Instead of 7 yards, they get 17 yards.
But Levante
time
got
it again.
But Levante got a pick.
And Levante did get a pick that should have secured the win.
Yeah.
Yep.
Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira, we mentioned them briefly before, and everybody just has to put them in their disaster plan because you call them first, they respond immediately within a couple hours, even if it's in the middle of the night, and they'll come out and give you a free evaluation of your flood damage, water damage, storm damage, mold, whatever it is, they'll come out assess everything free, and then you move forward. You don't call your insurance company immediately because you're going to screw it up. And Florida's Elite Restoration will help you and guide you honestly. That's why they have those 5-star Google reviews.
You get a sense of what kind of problem you got.
Yeah, they're going to say, look, here's the deal. Here's what the technology says. Here's what our 25 years of experience says. Here's how we would go about this. Do you want us to work with you to restore your property, dry it out, do this and that, and get on managing your insurance company right now so you can get your money and get your house fixed.
And then get your Sage discount.
Exactly. If you mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan when you first call, if you need their services down the line, you'll get $500 back. Owner Josh Martin, family owned. They cover all of the Tampa Bay area and across the state. You know, if you're out there in east of Lakeland, don't worry. You call them up, especially if you see mold or flood going on. They're there for you, and we're glad they are. Bill Curry Ford, shop now. Your trade will never be worth more, and Sean Sullivan is paying top dollar for your trade-in. Seriously, BillCurryFord.com. You can make an appointment from Mobile Service online. They'll come out to your home. It's incredible service. And mention Joe Bucks Fan, of course, and reach out to Sean. You'll get the Joe Bucks Fan discount as well. Ira Kaufman discount, I should say.
I hear you.
Pat Kerwin and your
it's
buddy.
My guy.
Your buddy.
Jim Miller.
They do their exhaustive offensive breakdowns. Every team, every position group, grade everybody. It's ridiculous.
And we talked about their grades for the O-line.
Right.
Yeah.
So when that's all finished, and they finished it, they take about 8 minutes only, and they grade, or they rank their top five offenses. When they finished all that, they do that. So Kerwin said the Bucs, quote, underrated by everyone, including me. He said when he went through the whole exercise, position group by position group, he realized he was underrating the Bucs' offensive line. He didn't express any concern about Grizzard, whereas he did with the Lions losing their coordinator. And he says they're the number three offense in the NFL.
There's no way they can't be top five, Lee, because they finished in the top five running the ball and throwing the ball. That shows balance, Lee, something that you don't care about, that you and I have argued about.
I like Mike Leach's balance.
There you go, Mike
Leach. So, look, if they are top three, it's going to be almost impossible for them to lose the division. So, hopefully that comes true.
Now, Atlanta's got a pretty good offense. They got a pretty good
Atlanta's
offense.
Atlanta's got a ton of talent. We'll see if
we'll see about Penix, though. We'll see.
Oh, yeah, and I'm
bullish. You're higher on Penix than I am.
Yeah, I'm bullish on the guy. I think he's going to be a good
he's
quarterback.
He's not too mobile.
He's not overly mobile. No, he's
Here's
not.
One for you, Ira. You know, and this is the underlying theme here. You're talking about Pat Kerwin's predictions, this guy's predictions, that guy's predictions. Most of the predictions are low on the Bucks, and people gripe and grouch that, you know, they're not getting any respect.
What's low?
What do you mean?
Well, low. You said most of the predictions are low on the Bucks.
Yeah.
Like what?
Well,
like,
you don't hear people call, you know, oh, they're number 12 team or number 9. You know, there's so many predictions out there. But the underlying theme for Bucks fans is, you know, we're not getting any respect. You know, Rodney Dangerfield kind of stuff. Well, they'd win some freaking primetime games. They might get respect when the whole blankety-blank country is watching.
That was a good story.
1-7 Baker Mayfield is
good
with the
story.
Bucks.
Yeah.
That's awful. Horrible, as you would say, Ira.
And right now, they're getting a lot of primetime games, Steve. Not like the old days when they were
getting
one.
Win some primetime games.
Been like that for years. Yeah, look, Bull's obviously bad at preparing the team for primetime. Let's call it what it is. He's bad at it. He hasn't figured it out, and I hope he does. Mayfield, not a great primetime quarterback, goes back even further.
Now they should have won.
You think there's something to that, or is it
how
just
could there not be?
Yeah, it has
you
to be that kind of record
in primetime.
Yeah, a good team like that with that kind of record, there's got to be something to it. Didn't the Bucks struggle at night games with Arians, and he had night practices?
I can't even remember.
I thought he did, Steven. Is that accurate?
Did Arians have night practices?
COVID fogged my brain up. I don't know. I don't remember.
Because he was getting so desperate. Why can't we win night games? And I thought he held night practices, and they won a game or two. But 1-7, gee, many Christmas.
How many they got this year?
4, I think.
Four night games.
If you want respect from people that live in the Northeast and run the media companies.
That's a great point.
Start winning games when they're watching.
Yeah, everybody's watching. Yeah. Everybody's watching.
And usually those are good teams.
And that helps you in the Pro Bowl.
Of course.
It helps you in the Pro Bowl.
Of course. Now, granted, that was not Mayfield's fault, that Kansas City game. I'm still hacked off that. Yes, and it sounds like I'm anti-Bulls
tonight. No, you said it at the time, though. If you said it at the time.
Yeah, he pulled the plug.
That's different.
Yeah, he pulled the plug on Mayfield. Everybody and their brother says it was wrong.
His tendency is to be conservative. His tendency.
Play it safe.
And I hope he's growing from that. I think I see signs that he is.
I mean, I can understand.
All of a sudden, maybe a 4th-and-2, they're not punting. In the years past,
he's growing. You just have to be successful, though, right?
Yeah.
All right, I got a couple more for you, then we're out of here, Ira, but I think a couple
We're going to be back later in the week.
A couple of these are good. Some teases for you as well on something that's coming.
But I'm feeling 11-6, Stevie.
11, it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. Hey, I'm feeling 10. I've been wrestling with it. Every day I'm wrestling with it.
And I'm not even looking at the schedule. I don't care.
Well, you know, I was doing more research, watching some more games. Bucks have to go to Miami.
Wind chimes.
So I'm looking at Tua. Over the last 2 years, he's 12-4 at home.
I don't like that guy. I don't like him. He's brittle. I don't like him.
Yeah, he's 12-4 at home. That's not.
I don't like that whole team.
It's not a joke.
You're right. I don't like that whole team.
He's got a winning record in every year that he's played as a starter. Now he's missed games, obviously, but if he's healthy late in the season against the Bucks, that's Miami could be favored in that game.
I don't think he played particularly well last year. Tua.
He played well.
I just think he's just mediocre as mediocre can be.
It's a bad organization, Lee. Bad owner.
You're
dodging the issue. I don't care who the owner is or what. If he's 12-4 as a starter and he's on the field, the Bucks have to go there.
The Bucks have a considerably better roster than Miami.
Absolutely.
In my opinion.
Absolutely.
They shouldn't lose that game.
No, they shouldn't lose that game. But it's something to think about. I bring this up. The last prediction that came out today, Adam Rank, who's been writing for NFL.
That guy's a comedian.
He's a clown, but he's been writing for like 30 years on NFL.com. He's got a background that you would appreciate.
Hold on. Hold on right there. He's the guy that 3 years ago ranked the Hall of Fame candidates, and he had Rondé Barber 14th out of a list of 15 guys. Gave him no quarter, and Rondé made the Hall of Fame that year. Adam Rank.
He's a clown, but he...
No Sebastian Maniscalco, I'll tell you that.
NFL Network put him on a whole hour show. He went through every game on the schedule. Yeah, every game on the schedule. He came up with the Bucks at 8-9. So
every game, that's 256 games.
I know, I watched it.
or maybe more. I don't know.
Moved quickly. They did it. They organized it very well.
He came up with 8-9.
8-9 for the Bucks, tied with the Falcons, Saints in the toilet, and the Panthers winning the division at 9-8.
What?
He had them winning it at 9-8. He had them at 9-7, and then they come to Tampa for the season finale, but they don't need the game, and the Bucks win, and that's it. So you had
8-9 to me. It's a serious regression for the Bucks.
Didn't he have the Bucks 2 years ago winning like 4 or 5 games?
I don't know.
And by the way, what you're talking about, Steve, that show he does, he usually has the Bucks with a horrible record. Then fast forward about 6 weeks, then he's got the Bucks with a good record. So
I'm not talking about that guy.
All right, I have to let you know who's out there. Right
it's
there.
A rank
list. If he plays
list.
At the Side Splitters Comedy Club, maybe I'll go.
It's a rank
list. I don't want to read him about football.
All right. So, Ira.
They're as bad as the PFF tribe.
It's just something to think about. Now,
I got enough to think about with the Kemper telling me that the Kalijah Kansi might get dumped on the
He's on the bubble.
All right, go ahead.
So, Ira, I've been trying to find therapy for myself as it relates to the Todd Bowles contract extension. Because
This is keeping you up at night.
It is keeping me up at night.
So, the timing? It's the timing.
The timing, correct. Why are we gift wrapping this guy more years? When
they didn't do it for Devin White, they didn't.
Well,
they
that's different.
That's
don't compare Todd Bowles and Devin White, but he just hasn't proven enough for me yet to give him a contract extension. Could have waited till the end of the year. So I started thinking, how can I kind of maybe turn myself around on this or soothe myself a little bit or do a little therapy? So
embracing it,
I went into some data. Lee's a big history guy. And Ira's a big history guy, and I like this kind of stuff, too. So, you know, Todd Bowles, he's 1-3 as a postseason coach.
He didn't get an extension from the Jets, right? He had that 4-year contract.
Extension. He got fired. He got fired a year too late, if you ask Jets fans.
All right.
So he's 1-3 with the Buccaneers as a postseason head coach. If he goes 1-4, if he loses in the playoffs, to me that's a step back. That shows that he doesn't have what it takes to – push him forward this year.
You mean losing the first playoff game.
Yeah, if they do just what they did last year.
And they get a home game.
I don't like that. But the Glazers seem to be saying, we don't care. That would be okay. We're moving forward. So I just did a little research to see what I would find. There are two coaches in the history of the National Football League that were 1-4 in the postseason.
You mean ended 1-4 or started 1-4?
Sorry, three coaches that reached 1-4, that record, in the postseason.
Was George Allen one of them?
This is the modern era. So I'm going back 30
Super Bowl era.
30 years. Well, that's not modern. 30 years.
21st century, basically.
Wayne Fonts, 1-4 in the postseason. He lost playoff games in 93, 94, and 95.
With Detroit?
Correct. And then in 96, and then
Rodney Beat?
In 96, he went 5-11 and got fired. So he went 1-4 in the playoffs. They brought him back. He went 5-11 and got fired. Next guy, 1-4, Mike Smith. Now, asterisk there. When I look at playoff record, I do this with Lamar Jackson. He's not a big Lamar Jackson guy. I give the guy credit for getting a first-round bye because that's as good as a playoff win, and that's what you want. So I'm not going to punish a guy for getting to the next round of the playoffs. So Mike Smith, twice he got a first-round bye.
And lost.
And he was 1-4 in the postseason.
Wow.
Wade Phillips, once 1-5.
Now, Steve, to be fair, Mike Smith had a couple of really bad years at the end.
Yeah.
More than one.
Yeah.
More than one.
Right.
Had a hell of a good quarterback.
Right. You're sort of making my point. He went 1-4 in the postseason. He followed his last playoff season with two losing records, and he got fired.
Two losing records.
Two in a row. Just like Wayne Fonts had one. Wade Phillips, he was 1-5 in the postseason once he got a first-round bye. That's not a great club for Todd Bowles if he goes 1-4. So I dug a little deeper, and, of course, Jim Mora and Marvin Lewis both winless in the postseason. 0-6 for Mora, 0-7 is the famous Marvin Lewis line, and it's not pretty after that.
What's the common denominator? I don't know about Fonts.
Defensive coaches?
Yep.
Now, a guy named Tony Dungy was 2-4 in the playoffs and got fired. But he also once had a first-round bye. So give him credit for that.
A defensive guy.
I just look at it as if you go 1-4 in the playoffs with the same team, I don't see much hope. You need miracles coming out the door. That's just where I sit.
I was hoping
for different research, but this is what I found.
First of all,
I'm stunned at the depth of your research over there, Izbitz. You gave up some meals to stay at your computer. And keep digging. dig. To me, the common denominator, except for Fonts, who only had the one losing season, then got canned. You got to have multiple losing seasons, like a Mike Smith. Then you get the boot.
That's generally what the Glazers...
And if Bowles should happen to do that, God forbid, he'll get the boot.
I'm not... It's not an absolute, but generally, the Glazers give people two losing seasons. You have two losing seasons, and out the door you go.
Unless you're Raheem.
And that was
an anomaly, right?
Well, not just an anomaly.
They quit.
Well, they lost 10 in a row. Yeah, they quit.
They quit.
But there were all kinds of locker room issues. All kinds of locker room issues.
That's another good point. Now, and we don't have that here.
Well, you just took the words out of my mouth. Steve is irked that Bulls got this extension. And, of course, the Glazers haven't commented on it. And I'm not one of these people that stomp their feet. They have to talk. No, they don't.
They issued a quote. Yeah. They issued a
but
quote.
I'm talking, people, they need to have a press conference. They need to stand there. They need to.
Maybe Adam
says
Rank.
Who?
Maybe Adam Rank wants to weigh
in on
that.
Let Adam Rank speak.
Let Adam Rank speak. Boy, we kill everybody on this podcast.
I you know this. The Glazers put a hell of a lot of stock in new culture. They like the culture that Bowles
He's still trying to probe the chances of Bowles getting canned.
Well, he's not wrong.
He's probing.
He's not wrong, but I'm just saying.
Different angles. All kind of different angles.
I know you talk to the right people. I'm assuming. I know that Steve does, too. I've talked to people, and it's clear that the Glazer family puts a lot of stock in the culture. I know it pisses people off, but they always bring it up, do they not?
I don't mind the fact that Steve tries to take the position of his readers, Buck fans. And Steve's got a good sense of how Buck fans feel about Bulls.
I'm not taking a position, Ira. I'm expressing my feelings and trying to soothe myself.
So part of it is that you agree that this is a hell of a roster.
Don't get it wrong.
I don't think it's a hell of a roster.
I think it's a hell of a roster.
Right.
A hell of a roster. What I think is that it all goes back to I don't understand the extension now. If Bulls went 10-7 next year, went 10-7 next year and lost a playoff game to Green Bay at home, I wouldn't fire him. I'd give him one more shot, but I wouldn't have given him a contract till 2028.
Here's the word. I think I found the perfect word. I said, the Glazer family puts a lot of stock in the culture. They're proud of the culture. Is that a fair? I think it's a perfect word.
They're
proud of it. So they're not that inclined, even though...
They're not putting out fires every freaking week like other teams are.
Yeah.
Holdouts
Guys
everywhere.
Getting arrested.
That counts for them.
Yeah, they like it, and they should.
Now, Light's part of that with the guys he's bringing in.
Just some names to think about there, Ira.
Excellent research.
And Wayne Fonts.
You could be working for Pro Football Focus. You keep this up.
I don't think so, but maybe I could grade you on your podcast.
Like
Pro Football Focus does.
When's the last time you talked to Wayne Fonts? I mean, he used to pop in at $1 periodically. He was a McKay assistant.
I believe he lived near Tarpon Springs. I believe
either him or Who was the former Bears head coach? Guy was bigger than me.
Abe Gibron.
Yeah, Abe Gibron. Didn't he live in Tarpon?
I think so.
But I think you're right about Wayne Fonts lived there, too.
Wayne Fonts, 85 years old now, Ira.
Still kicking?
Oh, he's still around?
According to the internet.
Outstanding. Yeah. Outstanding. Fonts. Am I going to make 85, Steve?
Absolutely.
That 85 brings, donuts.
Speaking of 85.
Don't remind me 85, because I covered a team that went 2-14.
Well, you're going to like this. I got an 85. Actually, the number's 87. You know, Bulls talked about this. Do I remember it? Hell no. But I know he did, because Steve wrote about it. But Dan Pompey did another story in Athletic about the Bucks, specifically Bucky Irving and Tom Moore have a very good relationship. And those two couldn't be any
They're
different.
They're coming in 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, well, that's what freaked me out. Like 3:15.
I'm turning the light off at 2:15.
Well, I kind of said the same thing. You know, I'm in Vegas. I'm either still playing poker or I'm at the bar at 3:15.
There you go.
And Tom Moore, 87. Now, think about this. Most guys, if they wake up at 87, that's not a sure thing. If they wake up at 87, the highlight of their day is to drag themselves to the neighborhood diner and have a cup of coffee if they don't have a doctor's appointment somewhere.
Well, and you're on a roll.
And they're probably dragging a damn walker with them. And here, Tom Moore, is he still working?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he turns 87 in November. I'm sure they'll probably have a nice cake for him. And
I'm going to ask him about coconut donuts. I'm going to see what Tom Moore has to say.
I'm sure he's probably got a donut preference.
Got a stash somewhere.
He's got a stash. All right, Ira, say goodbye to the Bucks fans.
We'll see you. And 11-6 sounds mighty sweet.